Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Doug. Are you designing your applications to reach the maximum number of users you wish to reach? That includes individuals with disabilities. Think of Stephen Hawking, who recently passed away. Would he have been able to use your application? He had some amazing tools that allowed him to be the best that he could be. Would you be interested in increasing your user base by 10 million users? What if I told you that Microsoft recently created a technology that very quickly grew to 10 million users? And they did just that with Immersive Reader. Immersive Reader is part of the Microsoft Learning Tools. It quickly grew to 10 million users per month. It improves comprehension. It encourages independent reading. It's simple to use. It's available for free. It comes with Microsoft Edge, Word, and several other Microsoft products, and probably going to be incorporated in more as time goes on. It started as a hackathon, but something as simple as Immersive Reader, which allows reading content much easier for people with cognitive disabilities or just the general market, easier to read the content, quickly grew to 10 million users. Is 10 million users not enough for you? Well, there are globally 1.2 billion people with a disability on this planet. So that's about 1 in 7 individuals on this planet have a disability of some sort. Or in the United States, that's about 1 in 5 people have a disability. Why would you not want to reach this user base? Now, when it comes to disabilities, I don't want you to think of it as a personal health condition. I want you to think of a disability as a mismatch human interaction. Kate Holmes, who is an inclusive expert, used to work for Microsoft. She has since quit, has her own consulting firm now, created a book on inclusive learning. She put it really well in a statement that I'm going to read. A mismatch interaction between a person with their environment is a function of design. Change the environment, not the body. For people who design and develop technology, every choice we make either raises or lowers these barriers. It's a different way to think about accessibility. Now, when we're talking about accessibilities for developers like yourselves, the ones that are most interesting would be physical disabilities. Maybe my arms and my hands have some issues. I can't use them well. Maybe I'm hard of hearing or totally deaf. Maybe I have a cognitive issue of some sort. Maybe ADHD or dyslexia. Maybe I have a vision issue of some sort. Maybe I'm just colorblind. Maybe I have low vision. I have a hard time seeing the content of my screen. Or maybe I'm completely blind and I can't see that screen at all. Maybe I have multiple disabilities. Maybe I'm deaf and I'm blind. How would that interact with your application? Now, there's also temporary disabilities and situational disabilities. So maybe let's say I'm in a noisy room and it's hard of hearing. So that's sort of a situational disability. How would your app develop to that? Or I'm driving and my eyes are busy. Or I broke my arm and I'm out for 2 months with my arm. Or I'm carrying my baby in my arm. Now, my baby's 14 years old, so it's going to even take more than one of my arms. But you get the idea. There's a temporary or a situational disability that's not allowing me maybe to use your application. It's to your advantage to reach all of these people. So you're all here, so I'm going to guess that none of you have actually said any of these things. But I'm going to guess that some of you have heard some of these statements come from other developers or management. We don't have any accessibility users. Why bother? Or maybe you've heard, forget accessibility work if it means it'll cost. Or my resources are maxed out. Now, you guys probably hear that one all the time, even if it's not accessibility related, but you'll probably hear it for that as well. Do I really need to be hassled with accessibility? And finally, I can't sacrifice my UI. So in today's terms, what if I use, this is all fake news, right? This doesn't have to be true. If you take accessibility into mind at design time, these things don't have to be true. So why invest in accessibility? Well, you get reach. Remember those 1.2 billion users and all these temporary and situational disabled users? You can now reach those people if you take accessibility into mind. Usability. It's amazing when you're doing testing for accessibility with your application, you'll find core issues with your application as it was. Adding accessibility makes it broader accessibility to all users. Think of curb cuts designed for wheelchair users, but how many people love curb cuts and use them even though they don't have a disability? In fact, about 60% of people that do not have a disability use some form of an assistive assistive accessibility feature within your application. Compliance. Nobody wants to be sued, right, because your application or your web page is not accessible. So that's certainly a reason to invest in accessibility. You don't want to lose out on any bidding opportunities. The United States government, for example, requires your application be accessible before that they would purchase your application. Certainly a good reason to take accessibility into mind. But of all these, I would say helping people is obviously the best choice. You want to be able to help people be able to use your application. And in fact, the disability communities are very vocal. And a lot of times we find that if you have a problem with your application, word gets out and you get a bad reputation. But if you do something good with your application, word especially gets around, and all of a sudden you become the hero of your industry. So I want you to be the hero in your industry. Do the right thing. Make your applications accessible to all users. So how do you do that? Here's some steps to being a hero in your industry, some high-value, low-effort steps that you could take for making your applications accessible. Think about talking to people in management. Make sure you've got top-down support for accessibility. Satya is a perfect example of that. He definitely drives accessibility home to all groups within Microsoft. I'm assuming a lot of you watched his keynote today. Can anybody tell me how he ended his keynote? Anybody? He talked about it. Oh, go ahead.
He said that he's glad to end this with accessibility.
Right. He ended with accessibility as a core thing that you should definitely take into mind as you're creating your applications. I found that very powerful that Satya decided to end his keynote on accessibility. If possible, find an accessibility champion and get them on board. Somebody that loves accessibility. Get them on board that will help drive accessibility within your organization. Help drive the different product groups. Make them be accountable for their applications as they're designing them. Think about hiring or consulting with an accessibility expert or user. Get somebody that knows the technology and can help you better create accessible applications as you design. Try not to think of accessibility as an add-on. That's probably the biggest problem, and that's why some of those statements come out, because people are retroing accessibility into their applications instead of designing them from the ground up. So you want to make sure that accessibility is done at design time, not after ship time. Okay? Some basic design principles that will make it easier for yourself to develop accessible applications. First of all, if possible, use standard controls. Regardless of the platform or the framework that you're using, try to use standard controls if possible. That's going to get you a long way with accessibility. We try to develop the platform, the frameworks, to give you accessibility for free. It's amazing how many developers don't even know anything about accessibility, but their applications are pretty darn good with accessibility out of the box. You can use custom controls. If you do, I'd suggest maybe start with a standard control and maybe tweak it to your needs as opposed to just starting scratch with a custom control. The next is programmatic access. Microsoft has standardized on Windows UIA or UI automation, which is the API that allows your application to communicate to assistive technology. So it allows your application to say what's going on to, whether it's a screen reader or a magnifier or command and control, any sort of assistive device that's out there can be talked to programmatically with UIA. The advantage of UIA is it also can be used for automated testing. So you get a twofer if you incorporate UIA. And if you use standard controls, you will get UIA for free. So within Windows, in Box, the accessibility tools that ship with Windows, Narrator, which is a screen reader that is used by blind individuals, so that's a tool that you can use to test, and I'm going to use that in a little bit. Also, Magnifier, which is a screen enlarger, a magnifier, magnifies the screen for someone with low vision, is also in Windows. Speech recognition for people that have mobility issues, that also is in Box with Windows. I also want you to test your apps fully with keyboard only. Test your application just using the keyboard. Go to every feature, every function of your app, and think how that would work with just the keyboard. Cut the cord on the mouse, not physically, but Don't use that mouse. Try to use your application. Also, make sure that the tab order makes sense. If you're tabbing from control to control, it's accessible if it does this as you're tabbing around all over the place, but that's not really usable. So you want to make sure the tab order makes sense. So not only keyboard support, but good tab order. Respect user settings. If I go to Windows settings and I make some changes, maybe I change the high contrast, or I change my color scheme, or high DPI, these types of things, you want to make sure your app adjusts to those settings and doesn't stay hard-coded to certain colors that might be difficult for certain people to visually see. Also, test with assistive technology. Again, you've got narrator, magnifier, speech recognition. Test your application with those tools. And if you leave here with anything today, I want you to leave with this website, which is aka.ms/dev4accessibility. It has everything that I've talked about in far more detail that will give you all the information you need to make sure that your applications are accessible. It's got everything about UIA, how to test your applications, how to use custom controls. All of that is in there for free. So what I'd like to do now is quickly switch over. And here's actually the web page that I just talked about. So this is the web page that just goes through, and again, lots of examples, all sorts of information for developers, lead you off into many other areas on web pages to give you everything that you need to write accessible applications. But I'm going to go ahead and go to Visual Studio. I've created a little sample XAML application. It's extremely brain dead, but I just wanted to show some concepts that typically trip developers like yourselves. So first of all, I'm going to go ahead and launch my application. And again, it's a XAML app, but nothing under the hood actually works, but I just created some UI to give you a feel for how that's going to work. And hopefully Visual Studio is going to come up. Here we go. So my application came up, and it looks fairly normal. But before I even interact with it, I want to turn on a diagnostic tool within Visual Studio that will help check to see if I'm using my API correctly, that UI automation. It's going to test to see if my elements have a UI name, for example, something that can be communicated to assistive technology. So I'm just going to go over to Diagnostic Tools, and under Select Tools, I'm going to turn on UI Analysis. Now, once that's on, it only looks at it when you launch the application, so I need to shut it down and relaunch. But now with it on, I can take a look and see what kind of errors it might have found. So if I go to Diagnostic Tools, go to my summary, I see that there are three events that seem to have an issue. If I open those up, it's going to show me the three areas that have an issue. And in fact, they'll give you a link that talks about what the problem is. So I'm just going to go ahead and click that link. And it says, I have a UI element with no name. And it gives me the impact, the cause, and the solution. And specifically, it shows me real quickly that I can use automation properties name within XAML to be able to give this element a name. That's one way I could solve the problem. So if I go back to my application now, and now I'm going to launch Narrator, which is our inbox screen reader. And you launch Narrator with Control, Windows, Enter. So if I do Control, Windows, and Enter, that will launch Narrator. And I'm not getting any volume. Do I have some assistance? I'm not getting any volume off of my speech. There we go. Now we've got some volume. So when it first launched, it said accessibility sample and said editing. So whenever you change windows, Narrator is going to tell you what the new window is by reading the title, and that's what it read to me. It's going to tell me the control that has focus, and it told me that I'm on an edit box by saying editing. But it didn't read me title. Visually, it's very obvious I'm on the title edit box, but it didn't say that to me. So that's a problem. So if I tab, hit the right keyboard. Now there's a weird tab order. It took me from title and it took me down to submit. I would have thought it would have taken me down to description. A sighted user may not notice it because they'll just click on title, click on description, and click on submit. But a keyboard user would catch this. So that's a problem. This is the second, or rather the second unlabeled control that I have. It just said just said editing, so it didn't tell me description. Tab again.
First name, editing.
Now that one worked well. Told me first name, editing.
Last name, editing.
Good one.
Send it, button.
Good.
Previous, button.
Good.
Button.
And that just said button. And that's because I used a graphic image there and didn't give it a name.
Editing.
So we've really got three controls that don't have names, which aren't going to read well with Narrator, and I've got a weird tabbing order that I want to deal with. So I'm going to go ahead and shut down Narrator. And I'm going to go into... I'm going to go ahead and shut down my app as well. Go back to Visual Studio. Whoops. Before I do that, I want to go ahead and if I click on these specific elements, it'll put focus directly on the element that has the problem. So my first problem was on the title edit box, I didn't have a name anywhere in it. Now visually, I used a text box and I gave it the title or text of title, but it didn't associate my text box with that text block. Hard to put those together. So I could do this several ways, but one way is, according to the web page, is I can just come in here and I can type in automation properties, if I type it right, automation properties name, and I'm going to give it title. Now this would have to be localized, and typically you'd want to use the exact same name that you used visually. So I'd really want to use the same title in both cases so I didn't have to localize that string twice. And then we also had the other edit box description. I'm going to do the same thing for that. Automation properties name, I'm going to give that description. And just to show you why it worked, too, we had those edit boxes that did work, the text boxes that did work. They spoke because I used the header here, which actually put the text on the screen and associated that to my edit box itself. So XAML said, oh, first name is the UIA name for this. I'm going to go ahead and put that there for you. So you didn't have to do that manually. So there are ways that you can make it more friendly to automatically get the names. That's why those edit boxes worked. We also had a button that works, right, because I put previous in the button tag directly. Again, XAML was smart enough to take that and put it in the UIA name. Now, here's my button that didn't work so well, and that's because I kind of went out of my way to break accessibility by using a graphic image for the button itself. There was no way for Narrator to get any sort of context or name out of that graphic. So I'm going to go ahead and do the exact same thing here and just give it name of next. So now when I go ahead and run my application again, so I've just basically fixed these errors. The UI analysis is no longer going to find those errors, and we could verify that as well. And I'll go ahead and launch Narrator, and we'll see if it actually speaks properly. So first I'll look at my diagnostic errors, and I have no more event errors, so I fixed those three. So I didn't even have to find them. It told me specifically what they were. So I'm going to go ahead now and launch Narrator again.
Starting Narrator, accessibility sample window, title. Editing.
That's good. It spoke the title on my window, and now it spoke the focus control and set title, which is perfect. If I tab, we still got the tabbing order problem I'm going to fix.
Description, editing.
And now we're reading description. First, if I go down quickly to next, so even though I've got a graphic image, that speaks perfectly there. So I'm going to go ahead and stop this real quick. Now we take a look at what the tab order issue was.
Text editor.
I'm going to go also, I'll shut up text Narrator. Editor. And specifically, we looked at the tab order. XAML will just go top to bottom in the order that it's within the markup. So it automatically sets the tab order from top to bottom. Now this one, the first element, has a tab stop of 1. I don't really need that because that is the first element up there. So I'm going to go ahead and just get rid of it. It's irrelevant. So naturally, XAML would fall down to the second element. But it didn't. So there must have been something that overrode that. And in fact, it went down to the submit button, which somebody just had a tab index in there by mistake, probably a copy and paste error. So if I get rid of that, now there's no more tab stops in there specifically getting me out of order. Let XAML just handle it for me because that's what it does. And now I'm going to get a good reading experience and a good tabbing experience as I move through my content. So if I quickly launch Narrator again.
Starting Narrator, accessibility sample window, title, editing.
Good.
Description. Editing.
Good.
Submit.
And we've got it. So we've now made our application accessible by fixing those few little errors that we had within the application.
First name, editing. Narrator.
Let me go back. So just to summarize real quickly, accessibility testing, we need to test the keyboard accessibility. We need to verify the color contrast, make sure that we've got good color contrasts or utilities that will do that for you. Again, that web page will point you to some of those. Verify your app in high contrast. Go to Windows Settings, set high contrast, make sure your app works. Verify your app with display, other display settings within the settings of Windows. Again, high DPI, some other settings. Verify your main app scenarios by using Narrator. Do what I just did, launch Narrator with your application. Tab around, make sure that it speaks properly. And then finally, you can run some accessibility tools, which I have not talked about yet. That's part of the Windows SDK. You get tools like Inspect and AccEvent. Inspect is just a little utility that will go through and look at all the UI elements within your application that you probably got for free from your platform or your framework. And an AccEvent also lets you see the events that are firing, like the focus events, state change events, these different events that are telling the assistive technology how to read your application. And finally, call to action is just continue your education at the webpage, aka.ms/dev for accessibility. It's going to tell you how to make accessible apps in the store, how UI automation, everything you wanted to know about that, video code samples, accessibility testing, and a lot more. I want to thank everybody for attending. We do have our booth at Accessibility under the user experiences. I can see it from right here. If you have any specific accessibility questions, please stop by. If we don't know the answers, we will get the right person back with you that does know the answers. Thank you very much.